David Lindy's.
So my mom says that social media can give us permission to say things we might not say to each other's faces. And actually, this might be the one thing that she's right about. See, Facebook has the same effect on me that three beers might. So, Facebook David is essentially three beers David. He cries easily, he hugs everybody, he sings love songs to strangers, that kind of thing. 8 years ago, I was on Facebook searching for my biological father, whom I've never met, when I stumbled upon a half-brother I had only heard of. We'll call him Julio. Story is, he's from the first marriage, I'm from the second marriage, both marriages ended in divorce. Enter Facebook David, who I'm glad to say pulled no punches that day. I wrote him the most uncomfortable, awkward, cringe-worthy introduction letter you have ever seen. I mean, imagine being in your late 30s, minding your own business, and suddenly you get a message from someone you have never met, and it essentially says, hey, you know your dad? Well, he's my dad, too. I never heard back. I have no idea why. Fast forward to last March. I was wrapping up a quick trip to Guatemala, which is where everyone in this story is from. And I'm in the airport catching a flight back to the States. I go to my gate, and who is sitting there? Julio, the half-brother. I recognized him from his Facebook pics, and I am freaking out. I'm holding a cup of smoothie in my hand, and I start sucking that thing at unreasonable speeds. My eyes are watering, and my feet are a little numb, but I decide this has to be some kind of strange divine intervention, because the odds are too small, and I have been searching for my biological father for such a long time, and this just has to be a break in the case. So, with a smoothie cup in hand that is now empty, but that I am still sucking desperately, I walk straight up to him, and I say, I'm David Lindis, and I think we're half-brothers. And what ensues are 10 minutes of the most cringe-worthy small talk I've ever endured. I promise you, I've had better conversations on middle school dance floors. Neither of us knew what to say or where to look when we were saying it or whether to keep the torture going or just put the conversation out of its misery. Finally, and thankfully, the plane begins to board. We swap contact info and we head our separate ways. That chance encounter with Julio unleashed this wave of curiosity that just swallowed me whole. Later that night at home, I'm online. I am looking for anything and everything I might find about him. And I wind up on this website that's really full of birth and marriage and death certificates. And I learn that there's something off with the story I've been told about my family. Okay, we're going to go into timeline mode. Are you ready? You got to follow me on this. 1970. My biological father marries his first wife. 1976. She gives birth to Julio, the guy I just met in the airport. 1980. My mother gives birth to my older sister. 1982, she gives birth to me. 1984, our last stop, my biological father divorces his first wife. You see what's missing there? We have a smart crowd tonight. I like you guys. That timeline is tough. had spent my whole life thinking I was the child from the second marriage, and it hadn't worked out, and it had ended in divorce. And honestly, that is not a great origin story, you know? But it was something. And it meant that at one time, I had been part of a family, a mother, a father, an older sister, together even if briefly. And that tiny semblance of mutual care was really important to me. It meant that I had grown inside the little fence that is marriage, and in a carefully tended garden, I had grown with the other cherished plant. And it turned out that wasn't the case at all. I wasn't a garden plant. I had sprouted on the other side of that fence. I was no domesticated specimen. I was wild. I was a weed. I was a bastard. I had been searching for my biological father for more than a decade. And years before this whole thing at the airport, I had gotten his email address from a mutual acquaintance, and I had written to him for years and years, sometimes once a month, sometimes daily, with no reply. And suddenly, the wholesale abandonment, even the unwillingness to email me, makes this dark, twisted kind of sense. You don't write back to the other woman's kid. Just last summer, I was in Guatemala again. I go there a lot, it turns out. And I had a chance to go see this amazing private car collection just outside the city. I am talking 40 vehicles in museum-like garages at the weekend home of this multimillionaire, okay? And I was there because I really wanted to see one car. It's a 1953 Porsche that someone in my biological father's family had bought and run in a very important race of the day called the Pan American Race, and he had won his division. And I wanted to see this car so badly. So now finally I'm there, and I'm talking about this car with the collection owner, and he tells me, "You know, this car is really important to me personally. Not a lot of people know this, but I am the illegitimate child of the Porsche owner's uncle." What, is this like a family tradition? And you know what? Guess what? Guess what, dude? I'm the illegitimate son of the Porsche owner's nephew. Boom! We look at each other like we've known each other for years. The sense of understanding is there. This bond that we never thought we would have. And it's not that we're remote cousins. It's that we're both wild. We're both weeds. We're both bastards. And I know it's shallow, but sharing that bond with a multimillionaire car collector made me feel a little better. Thank you.